The word this morning is perhaps going to be slightly unusual. It's not especially a Christmas message. But our passage this morning addresses something that has become increasingly important to me the longer I've been in ministry. It is the power of Scripture. The power that is there because God is at work and is present when we read and when we listen. At the risk of embarrassing someone who I wasn't expecting to be present, it was in my early days of ministry when Henry Friesen said, "When you go to visit, you are to do at least two things. You are to read Scripture, and you are to pray with them." I have continued to learn to trust that God speaks to people through Scripture. And often enough, I'm still tempted not to read Scripture when I visit with others, or at home with my family, or at church events. Sometimes it feels awkward or forced. It feels like I'm just going through the motions. But the more I have disciplined myself to prepare well, to read well, the more I find that God is always at work through Scripture. God's power is there. In this passage, Matthew demonstrates that God always has a purpose in Scripture. Always. And that God is present and with us and active. And that this is clearest when we obey God. When we obey Jesus Christ, who is revealed to us as the King, the long-awaited ruler, the Savior, and God the Son. And lacking confidence in God's Word, and lacking confidence that God will accomplish anything through it isn't new. Having doubts about whether God is real and present and active, this isn't new. 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote in his second letter that some say, "Where is his coming? Since long ago, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation." 2,600 years ago, roughly, Habakkuk, paraphrasing, said, "I've heard of your renown, God. I've heard about the things you've done in the past. Where are you now?" And at the same time, Zephaniah the prophet said, "Some say in their hearts, God doesn't do anything. God will not do harm, nor will God do good." 3,000 years before this, the psalmist says, "The fool says in their hearts, there is no God. God is not watching. I will not be held accountable for my actions." These sorts of questions and doubts are part of human experience, and they are arguably necessary for our growth in faith. But of Jesus' birth, Matthew wrote these words, "All of this has taken place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord long ago through the prophet." In other words, even though the Scriptures were written more than 1,000 years before by different people in different forms, God always had a purpose for those Scriptures, and God has made sure that those purposes were accomplished. And that is still true when we read and when we listen to Scripture today. Does God still accomplish God's purpose in us and in our world when we, through God's Word, are we shy about reading Scripture with one another? Or haven't we had times when Scripture accomplished something in our hearts, in our minds, when it spoke to us directly, when it touched us, or directed us, or strengthened us, when it changed us in some way? The words of Scripture have power. As Daryl Johnson, the Baptist minister, has said, something always happens when we read Scripture. Now, I don't mean that the words of Scripture have powers that we could use for our own purposes. So it's not like a magical book of spells and we can summon a verse to ward off a cold, or that we could read another verse to succeed in some test or at work, or perhaps we could find another verse to make someone fall in love with us. Instead, when we read Scripture to ourselves and to others, in that moment, what we are doing is trusting that God is present and active and will accomplish God's purpose in that person's life and in our lives. And God does. It happens all the time. Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah 55, God said, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return until they have watered the earth, until they have accomplished what they came to do, to bring forth and sprout, making seed, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." If you are already in the habit of reading Scripture with others, don't lose heart. Don't let doubts prevent you from carrying on. Chris, when you're with the youth week after week and they're not listening, carry on. If you're reading Scripture with others already and on visits, carry on. God will accomplish God's purpose as you read the words to each other. If reading Scripture with others on visits or at home or in groups isn't something you do yet, give it a try for a while and see what God accomplishes. See what God does. And maybe we don't know or won't recognize how, but something always happens. Our doubt in Scripture is likely just another form of a greater doubt. A doubt that there is a God. A doubt that God is present. A doubt that God is attentive to our lives or our world. Of Jesus' birth, Matthew wrote these words: "All of this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Jesus' birth was and remains a sign that God is indeed present and active. That God was indeed with those early witnesses to Jesus' life. And that God is indeed with us. That after centuries of waiting, the people of God were able to say, "This is really happening. God's purposes are being accomplished around us." Scripture has power because God is present and speaking to us. And so we have therefore more than one way to listen to God. And our response is to love God and to obey God joyfully. We have first the way God speaks to us and accomplishes his purpose in our lives through the plain words of Scripture, as we read God's word and listen to God's word. But we have the yet more personal dimension that God speaks to us directly because God is with us through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Matthew shows this taking place in the life of Joseph. As we heard, Joseph was a righteous man. And when he found out that his fiancée Mary was pregnant with a child that wasn't his, he immediately followed the words of Scripture. He followed the letter of God's direction in the law. In fact, he went even further. He followed the spirit of them too. He could have asked for a public trial to divorce Mary, But instead, out of love for his neighbor and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, he planned to dismiss her quietly and privately. And if Joseph had done that, he would simply have been following Scripture. He would have been acting within the boundaries of the law given to the people of God. But just when Joseph had resolved to do this, a messenger from God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, take Mary as your wife." It was a direct and personal word from God. God asked Joseph to do something in particular. It wasn't enough in this case for Joseph to simply know the words of Scripture. Joseph had to know God and to recognize God's voice. And Joseph had to obey. What is God asking you to do? What is God asking you to say to another? What has God said to you through Scripture? And what has God said to you in your heart in prayer? God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for this congregation. And Jesus and his birth is a sign to us that God is with us. That if we trust in God's word and God's power to accomplish that which God purposes, we will see God continue to be at work in our lives and through us. Amen.